Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Are you ready? Let's go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles strive after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, what an honor today it is to bring the word to such great people. You know, I heard the worship and I was like, this is a great people. And I believe that we are still going strong in our commitment to this year's theme, right? Breakthroughs? Breakthroughs? But have we forgotten? You know, a lot of things have been happening. So as I was preparing for this word, God was like, let's get back to what I wanted to do for this year. And as we move into the second half of the year, my desire today is to continue to encourage, to continue to spur on, to energize, and help us re-engage desires that have been dying off by using this scripture from Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33. So, while on a mountain, Christ gives us an important discourse that spans from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7. And it is commonly known as... I love how people are waiting for the people in front of them to say so that they can say. Like it's going like this. Someone on the mountain. It is called the someone on the mountain. And can you think of anything? Anything that you can remember about this someone or from this someone? Anything? The Beatitudes, I love it. Anything else? The Lord's Prayer. Anything else? Fasting and praying. Ask and it shall be given unto you. This is the someone on the mount. It is rich. If you ever want to go on a journey and study the word of God, this is a great place to start. And it is in this sermon that we have our scriptures from today as well. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34, Jesus comes to a topic in life that seems to cripple humanity in many ways. And he's tackling the issue of anxiety and worry. And that is something most of us can't avoid. But what is even more remarkable is his bold statement on how to confront it. This statement is a bold statement that he makes. He states in verse 33, but, we all know it, let's go ahead, but, unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Imagine how bold of a statement it is. He's just come from asking, guys, don't worry about what you will wear. Don't worry about what you will eat. Don't worry. But seek first the kingdom of God. Pause. Think. You want food. But Christ is telling you, seek first the kingdom of God. Number one question is, what are you talking about? You know how we always read? We love this scripture, right? We quote it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Awesome. How is that related to my bread and butter? And you have to realize, for him to say such a statement, for him to make such a statement, Jesus Christ is either giving us a profoundly helpful solution or he's giving us an impractical, unrelated, and a feel-good statement that when things are difficult in life, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I don't see Jesus doing the latter. Actually, I think he is so profoundly helpful that we should break it down and learn more about what he is asking us to do. Because church, this statement is bold. And today let's talk about breakthrough in bold. Let me give you. Just like when you read a sentence in bold, you realize it's in bold for a reason, right? And so you pause and give it your concentration. You guys have ever received that text, right? And when a text is in bold, you might skim over every other thing. But when you get to that text, you wait a little. You go back. Or you read and then you go back. What are they asking me to do, right? And so you have, it is bold for a reason. And so you pause and give it your concentration. And so we want to go through the next half of the year in bold, focusing on how to find the breakthroughs God has for our lives. Because Jesus says, if we seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. Which tells me that if I try and find the thing he is asking me to find, I will be the beneficiary of all these things. I will end up with more than I had ever even imagined. And how cool is that? Because I want that. When I do what he's asked me to do, then I will be the beneficiary of all these things. And so first, we have to talk about what it is that we are being asked to do, right? What are we being asked to do? Right? We've been asked to seek. And not only seek, we've been asked to seek first. And thank God, he said seek first. He didn't say seek only. But he said seek first. Seeking God and his kingdom is a matter of priority. It has to be, it has to do with what I'm building the rest of my life around. What am I building my time around? What am I building my energy around? My pursuits around? My focus around? So that's what seeking first means. It has to do with what am I putting in front? And because it's in the front, everything else gets its importance from it. And so all my life, all my time, all my energy is focused around building, seeking God and his kingdom. We are still yet to discover what does kingdom mean, right? So let's keep going. So seek has many definitions. Here in this verse, in verse 33, it is translated as, listen to this, to actively search for something in order to find. To search in order to secure, to crave, to desire, to request, to demand something from someone. That's what seek means. And I want to ask you, when God says seek and you find the definition, how has he asked you to seek? Based on the definition, he's asked us to actively search for something in order to find. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 25 to 29. Just listen to this story. It says, this is Moses talking, and he says, when you father children and children's children and have grown old in the land, if you act corruptly by making a carved image in the form of anything and by doing what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God as to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you that you will soon utterly perish from the land that you're going over the Jordan to possess. You will not live long in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods of wood and stone, the work of human hands, that neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But here we go. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him. You will search for him. You will search after him with all your heart. And if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. Moses is telling the Israelites that after generations of creating false idols, if the children of Israel will actively search for something in order to find, in order to secure, if they crave, if they desire, if they request from their God with all their hearts and souls, they will find him. This is because he is a merciful God who will not leave us. He continues to say, Moses is telling them, if all this has happened, when all this has happened, when you seek, you will find. Church, seeking is not about timelines. It's about the consistent effort you make. But this seeking, God is telling you, he's not telling you because of timelines. Because you feel like if by the time this year ends and my breakthrough is extended hasn't come, we are done for. It's not about timelines. It's about the consistent effort you make. Seeking is not about past failures. It's about your present desire to search well. Man, we failed. I tried last year. I tried some time ago. Why should I try again? It's not about past failures. God is saying, seek now. Seeking is not about trying to find out the way on our own accord. It's about submitting to doing things in his prescribed way. So what are we asked? What are we supposed to do? Jesus is asking us to engage in a continuous action, not a passive wish. And it requires us to invest our desires into what we are looking for with the intention and expectation that we will find what he is asking us to seek. You have two things. I'm going to give you two things. And just as an illustration, one is a sock. When you're late for work and you can only find one sock, what do? You throw the sock and look for another pair. But when it's in the evening and you're done and you're ready to chill and watch your documentary, and you're ready and you sit down and you can't find the remote control, the search that those two things have are different. The remote control, you will turn up, you will overturn the seats. You will wake up your children to ask them where the remote was. This is the seeking, God is saying. That you won't stop until you find. I will keep seeking. My intention, my expectation is to find. That remote control better be found. Where? Seek boldly, knowing you will find. Seek confidently. Seek tirelessly. Seek eagerly. Seek. And so, what is this that we've been asked to seek? Because we are not seeking a community. We are not seeking for a home. We are not seeking a neighborhood. We are not seeking a nation. We are seeking a kingdom. And there are some things that distinguishes a kingdom from all these other places, from all these other environments. A kingdom is not like a home. A kingdom is not like a nation. A kingdom works differently. So how does a kingdom work? Let's break down. Let me give you some characteristics of a kingdom so that you can understand when we are seeking, what are we truly seeking? Some characteristics of a kingdom. Number one, a kingdom has authority and power. A central figure, the monarch, he embodies the core of a kingdom's authority. He wields power to make decisions and enforce rules. That's what a kingdom's authority and power looks like. It's one person who sets the rules, one person who sets the culture, one person who sets the conduct of the nation, one person who can't be challenged, one person who doesn't need to pass any of his decisions by anyone, one person who leads the entire kingdom solely. That is what we are seeking. That is the type of kingdom we are seeking, with a central figure. Isaiah 44 verse 24 says, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who has made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who by myself spread out the earth. When you're seeking the kingdom, you are seeking the one with total control over our lives. We are seeking the one with total competency in our lives. We are seeking the one who has total concern over our lives. This is what I'm actively engaging in as I seek the kingdom of God. I'm looking for that one who has total competency. who has total concern over my life. But not only am I governed by just that one characteristic of a kingdom, there's another characteristic of a kingdom that I want to talk about, and that is legitimacy and justification. Now listen up. So historically, many kingdoms derive legitimacy from their belief in a monarch's divine right to rule, or a social contract where the people accept the monarch's rule in exchange for protection, provision, and order. Those are a lot of words. Basically, what I'm trying to say is kingdoms need a reason to give the ruler complete authority to rule, and in return, its citizens vow their allegiance. So this is what it means. That as a kingdom, I need to have a reason as to why you are there. Because your dad was there, that's a good reason. We will keep going with you. Because you defeated us in war, that's a good reason. We will bow. For a kingdom to be, it needs a legitimate reason to exist as a kingdom. And so what's the reason that you owe him your allegiance? We sang about it today. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 to 11 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." One who has taken your place on the cross, one who has died to save you, to save your future, to save your family, isn't he worth your allegiance? Isn't that reason enough for him to be the legitimate ruler of your life? But not only does it end there, there's another characteristic. A kingdom needs to have a cultural identity and unity. Kingdoms often foster a sense of shared history, traditions, and cultural identity that could be reflected in language, in art, in customs, that they look alike. They reinforce unity because of their customs. Just like 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." Kingdom is about creating a way of life that reflects the King. Kingdom is about creating a way of life that reflects the King. And it is shared my fellow citizens. So this means I'm responsible to be his subject. I must commit to living by his customs, his values, his traditions. Kingdom. What am I looking for? I'm looking for a place that has complete authority and power. And one man and one person has complete authority. I'm looking for something that has legitimacy. And I thank God for the God that we serve, because he has made it legitimate, because I do not know of any other worldview. I do not know of any other religion that the own God came down, became man and died on the cross, and now he lives to make intercession for you and I. He is legitimate. That's who I'm seeking for when I'm seeking for God's kingdom. And not only that, I'm seeking for a custom. I'm seeking for a way of life that will always reflect the King. So how are we seeking again? We are seeking continuously, eagerly, actively, making him our priority. And what are we seeking? We are seeking kingdom. Creating a way of life that reflects the King, who has proven that we can give him our allegiance and therefore surrender to his total control in every situation. And what should we expect after we have sought that kingdom? What should you and I expect after we have sought his kingdom? That all these things will be added unto us. Now, won't you agree with me? That is a bold promise. That is a bold promise. He promises all these things food, drink, clothing. But may I even venture further to include some other things that will be added unto us. Because you see, before, Jesus talks about the birds that do not sow or reap, but the Father feeds them. And he talks about the lilies that do not toil and spin, but they are clothed in more splendor and fashion than who? Than Solomon. But one thing got me thinking. Church, no one expects birds to be sowing and reaping. No one expects lilies to be toiling. So why would God compare these tasks to these objects as if they were natural for them to do? Why would God compare them? Birds are meant to nest. They're meant to chirp. They're meant to raise their young. Lilies are meant to take in water, right? Lilies are meant to absorb chlorophyll. Hey, Maze, me and my biology. Actually, no, it was science for standard 7. I didn't do biology. I did agriculture. Consume nutrients. That's what a lily is meant to do. And as they do their part, they trust that God is going to do his part. As they do what they can, they trust God is going to do what they can't. There are some things in life that aren't our responsibility. Our responsibility is to boldly seek the kingdom. Love your neighbor. Honor your parents. Be diligent at work. Be diligent in school. Care for the needy. Respect your husband or wife. Train your children in godliness. Do what your king requires. And leave what you cannot do, what isn't your responsibility, what you haven't been equipped for, leave that to God. And as you do, may the Lord add to you the faith of the bird, that as it nests, it will go to the field expecting that God has prepared seed for food. And as you go, may the Lord add to you the trust of the lily, that as it takes in its nutrients, God is working on beautifying the flower with splendor. And then I have to let God decide what and when and how to keep adding on. Because all these things shall be added unto you. So church, as you believe for your breakthrough, how I pray that you will choose to be bold. Bold to seek. Seek earnestly, seek eagerly, seek tirelessly. Bold to seek God's kingdom. Be bold to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, his authority, his legitimacy, and his shared values. Be bold to seek that. That's our responsibility. And be bold to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. And may all these things, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, materially, relationally, may all these things, church, be added unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. So seek him. You do your part and you do your part well. Remember the remote control. We are not stopping until we get that remote control. We are seeking his kingdom, his way of life. And as we bring that way of life into our world, may all these things be added unto you. We are going into the second half of the year. And I pray that this message has done something, either encouraged you, spurred you on, to say, you know what? God, you're not done yet. Church, God is not done yet. He's not even close to being done. Like, what can I do? Seek. What can you do? Seek. Seek his kingdom. So can we all raise our hands and just pray, ask God. Lord, help me. Father, I pray for the resilience. For those who have already been seeing the breakthroughs extended, may they continue. May they not be, my God, like the king who Elisha asked, how many times do you want to win? And he only did. He only threw the arrow 3 times. For those who are already seeing breakthroughs extended, may they continue. Like the widow at Zarephath, may they look, my God, for more oils, for more jars of oil. Lord, I pray, my God, for those who have stopped seeking because either the frustration or the worry of life has come upon them. Lord, I pray for strength to say, I will try, I will keep trying, I'll keep going, and I'll keep going. Lord, for those who have not even begun because, you know what, last year was already hard enough. The last time I tried was already hard enough. Lord, I pray that there is a resurgence, an awakening to say, God, I see what I'm supposed to do. And as I do it, God, I will believe, I will have the faith. Give me the faith of the bird. Give me the trust of the lily so that, God, I can keep going and keep going. And God, I pray that as your people seek, God, your kingdom and your righteousness, as they seek it, may all these things be added unto them. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen and amen. Praise God. Come on, church. Have a great week. Be bold about your seeking. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.